All right, thanks so much for being here. Yesterday, the Fed making statements about not raising interest rates, but not lowering interest rates. And there's a lot of things happening in the U.S. economy, and we want to know what it means, what the evidence, what the data means, kind of unfiltered and an observation from an expert. We turn to Kristen Benz from KB Advisory Group. Kristen, I'm glad you're back.
I'm so happy to be here, Mike.
This is, here's what I do. You always are able to deliver not so good news with a smile on your face. You're better at that than I am. But I want to ask a couple of questions because you've sent me a couple of things. I want to start with Yum Brands. And this is a major, I don't know if I'd say fit, I guess fast food brand. But Yum Brands didn't meet their estimates on revenue. Talk about what you see happening in the industry for where working class people go to eat.
Okay, so Yum Brands, for those that don't follow the market, that's Taco Bell, that's Pizza Hut, and that's KFC. So that used to be kind of, low-income consumers where they're going to, feed their family. If you're a teen, you're probably door dashing. my kids love to do that, too. So this kind of begs the question, when you have a mass fast food company missing their earnings, it begs the question on how the consumer is doing. And so, Mike, you and I talk all the time about this bifurcated market, this bifurcated consumer, the haves and the have nots, and the middle class is kind of like cut out of it. That's what's happening now. And so we've been talking about this for a long time, but now this recent, spout of earnings that we had this week really caught a lot of my colleagues off guard, which I think is hilarious because you and I've been talking about the consumer being under pressure for so long. So when you look at Taco Bell's value menu and they can't sell that,
right,
something's wrong. So the cracks are beginning to show, which I've seen for a long time. And then we should talk about Starbucks, too.
Yeah. And before we move on to Starbucks, I want to ask this question because I want to ask if there's a similarity here. When we were talking about where people were shopping for items, you talked about Target and Walmart, and then they were going to the dollar stores. And then from the dollar stores, they were disappearing, which is showing, really where people are hurting so much. Isn't it the same thing here that working families, they're going to lean on Pizza Hut and KFC and Taco Bell when times are tough? Those are usually the places you go in order to make ends meet. And in this case, if they're not meeting earnings, does that mean they're not even going there?
Well, that's the thing. And those of you that are listening, if whether or not you have kids, if you're just trying to hit the drive-thru before you go home from work at night, it's expensive.
It is.
So now, we had record inflation in food pricing and groceries, right? But I DoorDashed for my kids the other day, Taco Bell, because I relented, and I think it was $50. What are you doing?
Wow.
So people are like, they're teenagers, obviously, but, everyone's feeling that. And so I would have rather spent $50 on groceries and fed them at home, which is what we're doing now.
You go back in time a short distance. If you spent $50 at Taco Bell, you were headed to the ER.
Yes.
That used to be a lot of food.
You were feeding 20 people in your fraternity house.
Yes. So update me now on Starbucks. What's going on with Starbucks?
Okay. So this was, and it's not funny, but that I find all of these economists and cohorts of mine on the air. They're like, oh my gosh, we can't believe that Starbucks didn't meet their numbers. Well, of course they didn't, because people are spending $10 for a coffee. Are you kidding? So it's hitting everyone. So you have Taco Bell on the low end, Pizza Hut, KFC, they're feeling it. Starbucks used to be kind of a bougie thing. Got the cup and I rolled in and I'm paying, $10 for a coffee that's really awful. And, now they miss their numbers too, and they're noting consumer weakness. So the consumer, so if you start pulling back on that $10 coffee every morning, something's happening in the market. And it was hilarious watching, these economists saying, oh, wow, that really surprised me. Didn't surprise me. So this goes back to consumer credit, Mike.
Yeah.
And people are drowning with interest rates and they're putting gas, utilities, and food on their credit card. So then, those should be used for Taylor Swift tickets or Beyonce tickets or going to Disney World, right? That's what credit cards used to be for, to space things out, to plan things out. Now they're used for daily living and daily expenses. And, who are these people going to vote for in November? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, and that's a big part of this as well. Kristen Bentz is joining us. She is the CEO of KB Advisory Group, a guest host here, a fill-in host at KTAR News. You've heard her on this show and others as well. I want to ask about Jerome Powell talking and about what the Fed is doing and saying. He was asked about stagflation, and he said he doesn't necessarily see the stag or the flation, and kind of defended the direction of the economy. But there are other experts that are talking about we're in a big time of very slow growth and high inflation, and that is the definition of stagflation. What do you see happening between now and the end of the year?
Well, it absolutely is the definition of stagflation, and Jerome Powell is going to do what Jerome Powell is going to do, right? And, you know, there's a rule on Wall Street, don't fight the tape and don't fight the Fed. So those of you at home that are trying to invest in the market or day trading, there's no catalyst right now. There's no catalyst other than the Fed. So what am I seeing? I don't think you're going to see any rate cuts coming anytime soon because inflation is creeping up. And in the Valley, if you guys are in your cars right now, you notice that gas is back up above $4. So it's not going to get better this summer. So unless we have some sort of black swan event, I really don't see the Fed cutting rates. They will try to appeal to the administration and to this election, but they really can't cut because the metrics aren't there. So, I mean, I could see them maybe cutting in December. All my intel is telling me maybe December, but I don't think you're going to see any cuts or any relief anytime soon. So we have a joke on Wall Street, higher for longer. Everything's going to be higher for longer.
Okay. When you look at, you know, month over month, we saw what happened in the month of March. In April, we were told, and it looked like the growth had kind of gone to a halt, like 1.6%. Inflation was, what, 3.5% year over year for that month. What are your expectations for the when we see April in this month, when the numbers come out? Do you expect that to extend? Do you think that what you saw last month was an anomaly? What do you think?
Well, you know, all of these jobs that people are talking about, those are all part-time jobs. So what that is consistently telling me, and you and I talked about this, gosh, 6 months ago, Mike, everyone has a side hustle, right? So to make ends meet, most Americans need to have two or even three jobs just to survive. So I don't see that changing anytime soon. And again, back to Jerome Powell, he's basically trying to retrofit Fed policy to the market. And he keeps trying. So there's a huge disconnect out there between the stock market and Main Street. And unfortunately, I think you're just going to, we're going to be in this struggling kind of upper level low for quite a while until there's some catalyst that changes it. You know, they're saying that the labor market is tight. I have many friends in the tech industry that are struggling right now. That's a sector that's been particularly hard hit. And then your upper earners, they're the ones that are really being stressed right now. White collar workers are the ones that are getting laid off. So really, the only growth that you're seeing is, honestly, immigrant workers and part-time workers. And but, is that a strong economy? No.
But aren't we seeing a bit of an anomaly? Arizona seems to be very strong. They added like 5,000 or 8,000 construction jobs in Mesa last year. We keep hearing and keep seeing the cranes going up here. Are we a bit of an anomaly? Are we insulated here in Arizona?
Well, I always think Arizona is a bit of an anomaly. We're always the last to go into a recession, and we're always the last to come out. Because, you know, we do rely a lot on the service industry and destination management and that sort of thing. But that's changing now with all the semiconductors and tech that's coming to the Valley, thankfully. And there are cranes going up. And I think the Arizona economy is thriving. Absolutely thriving. And I think that's something, you know, if you're driving past Desert Ridge, you're driving past any of these restaurants, they're all packed.
Yeah.
So I get that a lot when I'm talking to my clients. And this is a funny thing that I get often, like, oh, well, you know, my wife drove past the Target and the parking lot was packed.
Yeah.
That's really not an economic indicator because you don't know what they're there for. And we also have, you know, non-store shopping, which is a huge portion of retail sales, right? Because that's how people live and work now. But I believe that the Arizona economy in particular is an anomaly and it is thriving. And that's just one of the great reasons, you know, why we all live here. Because we're kind of a 24/7 economy now. We're not just, you know, a place where you go when it's cold.
Well, listen, I always appreciate the update and the information and the clarification, and I know you'll be back soon, and I know you'll be in when I'm gone next week, so I appreciate it.
I will. I will mind the store while you're gone.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Kristen.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, that's Kristen Benz, KB Advisory Group.